Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
News Talk 720 WGN with Steve King and Johnny Putman. That record recorded so many years ago, and even today, rock guitar players are still trying to figure out, how the heck did he do all that stuff?
Yep, and it still sounds good.
It sounds wonderful.
And he is the man on the guitar. He is a sound. He is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, the Inventors Hall of Fame, and the Rock Hall of Fame, and he's our buddy. He's Les Paul. Hi, Les.
Hey, Les.
Hi, Johnny.
How are you, hon?
My favorite friend.
Oh, well, it's so nice to hear your voice. How you doing these days?
Doing okay.
Good.
Okay, how you doing?
Good.
We're doing terrific. We saw a picture of you as you were playing at the Club Uridium Monday night, and you looked like you were having fun.
Yeah, sure we have fun.
You never really know what's going to happen when you go to work on a Monday night, do you? You don't know who's going to show up.
That's for sure.
And sometimes you wish you did, didn't you?
Yeah, you pray a little.
I see. Well, our email box has been loaded with our nice listeners sending us newspaper articles that have popped up from coast to coast, and the newspaper article is about you being honored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Les is already a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But now you are going to be honored this year as part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's American Masters Series.
Mercy. Mercy.
Yes. Well, now, what has us intrigued, Les, is they're talking about the induction, or not the induction, but this ceremony, if you will, being in mid-November, and that there would be a concert.
Yes.
Is there any chance you're going to be there for that concert? I mean, is this you performing at the Rock Hall of Fame?
They were in the club last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that if I was breathing, I would be there.
Yay!
All right. Because, Les, you don't know how many listeners we've heard from that said, if Les is going to be performing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And we're thinking we may take a little trip and drive over to Cleveland and hang out with you there, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I'd love to see you guys.
Absolutely. So they've announced at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that the tickets are going to go on sale, I think, in 2 weeks. And if you're a museum member, you'll get an email notification about that. But this is a case of they're going to have a concert. They're going to be giving you the award. But, you know, we're going to wait and see. And at some point over the next few weeks, you're just going to decide how you're going to get there and like that, right?
Yeah, just like that.
Okay. Maybe you'll hop in your car and you'll just drive to Cleveland.
Well, usually I do.
I think that's what you did the last time, didn't you?
Because you prefer to drive, don't you?
Oh, I love to drive. Even at my age, I love to drive.
In fact, we have heard stories from the Candyman of how you drive around your own house.
You know, when the Candyman got in the car, I said, let me show you around here. I said, it's a pretty area here. Mountains and everything else, and I live on the side of a mountain, and I put the car in gear and floored. And I go down this long driveway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a tree on the lot across the street, right? So, Mercy, you got to make that turn.
Uh-huh.
And you should see him. Candy in the back seat, you know, just staring at a tree. And that's my joke for the day.
Uh-huh. Oh, golly.
But I drive. My mother was the driver.
Mm-hmm.
She had a Nash Rambler.
Hmm.
And she said, Lester, we got to go for a ride in. Well, I tried everything I could to avoid getting in the car with Mother, with this Nash, because I knew the car, and I knew that it had the electric buttons on it. And when Mom got in the car and I got in the car, we're in the driveway, and she has to back up, and then there's a sidewalk, and then there's a street, and there's a lot of traffic and everything. Well, Mom floors the gas pedal and starts to reach for the button, reverse. Well, when that thing took off, going backwards, if there was anybody around, they're no longer with us.
Oh, my gosh.
And Mother would take me to Milwaukee shopping. She'd do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
She would be talking to me, and you remember in the old days when they had streetcars?
Sure.
They had a sign here, and then they had a quarter of the way down the block, they have another sign, and in between there it says, go this way or go that way. But this is for the people that were going to get on the streetcar to stand out on the road so that they get on the streetcar, you know.
Uh-huh.
So they would stand on the road there. Well, my mother would be talking to me, and she'd say, Lester this, Lester that, or something. She's looking at me.
Oh.
She's not looking at the road at all.
Uh-huh.
And she knocks over the first sign, knocks over the second.
Oh, no.
And you thank God to this day there was nobody waiting for a streetcar.
Oh, no.
And, of course, I got orders from my mother not to tell anybody.
And you've only told 38 states and parts of Canada, Les,
right.
So that's okay.
Except I told you too.
That's right. Just between friends.
Well, how did you learn how to drive, Les? And the reason I'm asking this is because I go back to a story my dad told me years ago when he learned how to drive, and this was back in the days of running boards. And my dad was out, and he was with my uncle. My uncle was driving. My dad didn't know how to drive. My uncle drove my dad down to the south side of Chicago, and it was about 95th and Jeffrey. As they're at the stoplight, all of a sudden a car pulls up next to my uncle who was driving. My uncle opens the driver's door, steps out on the running board, and steps over to the running board on the other car and looks at my dad and says, see you back home. And that's how my dad learned how to drive, because he had to get the car back home.
Oh, boy. I learned to drive. My dad first took me to a parking lot, and he would say, now I'm going to teach you how to park a car. And so he taught me how to park the car. And, of course, those were the days with reverse shift.
Mm-hmm.
So first was way up in the left-hand side, way up, and then crisscross over to the other side. Just the opposite of a stick shift today.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad later would take me out on to the lake when it's frozen over. And the part that's frozen over, he would put some tin cans. And he'd say, I want you to drive between these tin cans. I want you to go left. I want you to go right. I want you to make a turn around and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
He'd teach me the braking and when to, in those days, we had freewheeling, which is illegal today. And Dad owned a garage and I was like born in a garage.
Oh.
In fact, I was born above the garage.
Uh-huh.
I learned from a very, very early age on how to park a car and how to get around in that car.
Uh-huh.
And how to steer, how to drive. And to this day, I could get in a Model T, and it would be just like it was yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And it surprised me because I got in a Model T, and I know the clutch brake, you know, and
uh-huh.
The whole thing, the reverse shift, and the whole nine yards.
Well, your mind is like a sponge anyway. Once you learn something, you don't forget it.
Well, it's like a sponge in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things that I just freeze. I just don't remember, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of things you do.
And, yes.
We're going to explore even more of them. We're talking with, yes, the Les Paul, More to come right here on News Talk 720 WGN. News Talk 720 WGN with Steve King and Johnny Putman. Fortunate to be able to spend some time with a man who is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and is going to be honored again as part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's American Master Series. The one and only Les Paul. And Les, I got to tell you, we're still getting emails from people who were fortunate enough to see you for the first time when you were up at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. And I don't know if you know, but there are some videos that have been posted from that concert up on YouTube. Some great videos.
No, I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of video, is there a target date for the high-def version of the concert being made available to the public?
Russ said that there was some came in today.
Really?
And looked at it because we don't have the equipment to play it on yet.
Uh-huh.
We're a little behind on our high-def stuff.
Well, we don't have high-def either.
Well, but I got to get it because they're sending in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that doesn't surprise me. You'll be the first kid on the block to have all the high-def equipment.
Yeah, you know, after the show last night, there must have been at least 20 people that came from either Chicago, Joliet, Evanston, from Rockford,
uh-huh,
that area. A lot of people from the Midwest come in, and they just spend some time and see the show, and we have a wonderful time. And I'll always ask them where they live because I know the area so well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I lived in just about every place in Chicago, Gary, Indiana, Hammond, and Chicago Heights.
You lived in Northwest Indiana, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Just when we think we know you.
Yeah, WIND.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's where the transmitter was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then WJJD, and then there was Howard Hawks. I used to spin records for him. He must have been the first disc jockey in Chicago to play records.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever asked you this, Les. Do you know, are there any recordings still existing of the days when you had your own shows on Chicago radio? Are there any of those recordings still existing?
The only ones that I know of are the ones that I or my wife or some friend recorded them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would. I would be on with Ben Burney.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd have all the shows recorded with Ben. In Chicago. That was from the Ridge Building.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago. So I have a ton of those shows. And that was the beginning of the career. It just seemed as though it started to ferment at that time, you know.
I know we've told you before that we've heard some of those wonderful recordings of your radio shows with Fred Waring, but that wasn't in Chicago. That was out of New York, right?
That was out of New York, yeah. And then Rudy Valley, he was out on the coast when I joined him. Burns and Allen, W.C. Field, Meredith Wilson, Bing Crosby. When you just played that recording, it's been a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I had saw it way back in 1938. I was listening to Bing, and I said, what are we ever going to do if something happened to Bing? If we lost Bing, what would we do? How would the world get along without Bing? And to talk to him the night before, he unfortunately dropped over on the golf course. He had just gave me directions as to he was going to fly in and land in New York. And he says, promise me that you'll pick me up and that we will record an album. and the album would be like that hillbilly.
Huh.
And he didn't know, remember the name of the hillbilly. I said, that happened to be Chet Atkins.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know, I listened to Chester and Lester, he says, all the way over on the plane. And he says, I enjoyed it so much that that's the thing. And he called me and asked me when he's coming home. He gave me the flight number and everything else, and we were going to make an album like that of reminiscing and singing and playing together.
Oh, boy.
My goodness.
That'd have been great.
No, you're not kidding. We're talking with Les Paul. I hate to do this. We have to take a break, but we're going to come right back with the wonderful Les Paul, who's going to be honored once again by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on November 15th. And if Lord willing and the creek don't rise, Les plans on doing a concert in Cleveland at the Rock Hall of Fame on that night.
Les, I've told you before, one of the things that I absolutely love about your playing is the tone that you get out of your guitar. And certainly the documentary, Chasing Sound, talks a lot about how you searched for that individual sound on your guitar. And I got to ask you about something that, in fact, I had a couple emails about this. You're constantly getting guitars from Gibson and Epiphone, right?
Oh, yes. I got four in the last couple of weeks, yeah.
Well, one of the ones I wanted to ask you about, there's this a new Les Paul guitar. It's the Epiphone Les Paul Ultra 2. This is the one where they have it set up so you've got the humbucking pickups, but you also have what's called the Nanomag low impedance pickup embedded into the fingerboard, so you can get either the sound of an electric guitar or an acoustic guitar.
When you call me, that's what I was practicing on.
Really?
Huh?
Well, it's very light. It's very pretty. And he did an excellent job, excellent.
Well, because I was looking at one of these things and thinking, you know, that's really, it's like it's combining the best of both worlds. So I was really kind of curious to hear from the horse's mouth, if you will, what you thought of it.
Well, I was very surprised because they sent it to me because they wanted to know what I thought. And I just told them it was super what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And very unusual. And then they sent another guitar to me that tunes, you know, one that tunes itself.
Oh, the robot guitar.
The robot, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just called me last week and says, we're going to make four Les Paul amplifiers, and we want the first one to be your dream. And so you design it exactly the way you wish. And we will put that out as your dream in a guitar amplifier.
Oh, boy.
So, what a privilege and a fun I'm going to have doing that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know that we ever really talked about this, but when you were tweaking your guitars and everything else, did you tweak a lot of your amplifiers that you used in your live performances?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had a special amp and of course a special guitar which I use always. I use the guitar and we make a duplicate of it, and if we can make 8 or 9 or 10 of them and they all do the same thing, then we present it to Gibson and say, hey, here's one of our favorite new guitars. We have one that we're just finishing now that is just super, and Gibson hasn't seen it yet. But they'll flip out when they see it, and so will Epiphone, you know.
Well, I got to ask you, because Johnny always teases me about how many guitars I have, and how many guitars do you have?
Oh, gee, I couldn't count.
Yes!
This will come back to bite me. I know it will.
You know, they used to say, well, now, besides our agreement, we will give you whatever you wish. Plus, you could get 9 guitars every year or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I go for maybe 2-3 years and avoid them because I don't need any more. And they call me a couple of weeks ago and says, "Say, where do you want us to deliver the Les Paul piano?"
Oh.
And I said, "Just leave it there."
You only have so much room in those.
In this house.
Right? Yes. Well, and for anyone who's seen Chasing Sound, I love the scene where we go into your bedroom and the walls are lined with the guitars, and you seem to know exactly where each one is. And with looking at the case, you know what's in that case, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, I wanted to tell you something, and that is years ago, many years ago, when I was a kid, I used to listen to someone singing, or I would get the idea of the sound I'd like to hear. Mm-hmm. And it was, I would sing in the bathroom, okay, where I could close the door and I could hear the echo. And I could hear the reverb of the tile, and I said, "Well, that's just a little too much echo." And then I would go into my bedroom, which was just a few feet away, and we had the mattress and the curtains and the rugs on the floor, everything deadening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I found a chair, and I placed it in just the right place, where I would hear just enough of the bathroom and enough of the dead room to get the sound that I wished to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Now, how am I going to do that electronically?" And that's how the reverb came about.
Mm-hmm.
And it came about because of the chair that I sat in, and I would sing and play. And I would get just the sound that I wish between the bathroom and the bedroom.
That is crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, yeah.
Chasing Sound, I chase it.
Yeah.
Now I think that it's the best sound I've ever, ever had. And I think so much about when we design the guitar, that it's possible to give so many different types of sounds, because the other people that play the guitar may have a different fix in their mind as to what they would like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may thank you like my sound. And my sound, I worked for so many years to get that sound. Okay, and then there's a certain way that you play that no matter if I picked up anybody's guitar, that you would say, "Well, that's less."
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way you mother the guitar, the way you get how you feel those. The notes and how to play them, how hard to pick them. And you can do that to a certain extent. But if you want this thing to sing and you want it to behave and do all the things that you dream you want, they're very hard to get. And I'm sure that that's the way it is for Jeff Beck or for Tommy Emmanuel or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They all have in their minds what they dream they would like to have. And I don't know of a guitar player that isn't still trying to conquer it.
That's very interesting, because we were talking Sunday night. We got the new B.B. King album, which, by the way, is a wonderful album.
I haven't heard it.
I know you're friends with B.B., and we're talking about his sound. If you've listened to a little bit of B.B.,
mm-hmm.
You know when you hear the first few notes that's his sound.
And Les, the album, it's called One Kind Favor, and B.B. is going back, and he's really going back to his roots and to the roots of blues. And I mentioned to Johnny that B.B., who's now in his
84.
80, something like
yeah.
that.
He's a kid.
Just a young kid. But he's playing some of the best guitar that I think I've heard him play. and his tone, and it's, I've said the same thing when I when I've heard you, and I'm not just just blowing smoke when I say this. Like when you were up at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, I mentioned to Johnny as we were sitting there, I said, Les is having a really good night, because I could just hear just the way you were playing and the sounds you were getting. Yeah, it's songs that you've done before, but you're just adding a little special stuff to it.
Everything's coming together.
Well, I hope it does one day.
You're going to keep trying, right?
Well, you were seated up on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a musician. Do not say anything about playing the accordion. All right? Because I said I'm not a musician.
Even if you play the accordion,
oh!
You're a musician.
Well, sitting there on stage behind you, I said to Steve, I was wondering how you hear all of your musicians around you.
Because we noticed that unlike a lot of performers, you don't have stage monitors.
No. No, we prefer not to use them. And, Lou just doesn't like to have one around, and the bass player last night, he said, have we got a stage monitor around? And we'll get you one.
Yeah.
He says, I'm changing my mind. No, I don't want one. The piano player, he had one, and finally he says, no, take it away. And so we kind of hear ourselves. If it's the right stage, if it's a stage that is not absorbing, like the bedroom and the bathroom,
right.
Too much in the bedroom, then you want to some reinforcement or acoustic sounds, some reverberant sounds, you know, and ambience, you just don't hear it, then you need help.
Huh.
And you can get it in many ways, and you know all those Jimi Hendrix foot pedals.
Sure.
So you, again, for the non-musicians who are taking all this in, then you are hearing yourself, but you're able to hear all of you musicians around you.
Yes, yeah.
Well, Les, does this kind of go back to the days when you first started playing, where they really didn't have monitors on stage, and you just kind of had to listen to the other instruments on stage with you and get that kind of an interactive vibe going, rather than hearing everything so perfectly played back to you through your monitors. So you're really interacting a little more with the people on stage, aren't you?
Yes. And there's something that I never told you that is terribly interesting to people, most of the people that remember Andrei Segovia.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get any better than that. And he played classical guitar, and he would play on stage at Town Hall or Carnegie Hall, and or at a private party. And he would sit there and play that beautiful, beautiful music on his guitar. And it was just, he did everything to perfection. And he confided with me that he would like me to design an electric guitar for him.
Mm.
Okay. And we worked on that guitar and worked on that guitar. He didn't want it where it could be seen by anybody or recognize that it was amplified, because in the early days there were no PA systems. You played at Carnegie Hall with the acoustics of that room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they really worked on those rooms to make sure they went so far as to include how many people would be bald-headed, how many people would in a tuxedo with a fried shirt on.
How many women with big hats?
Yeah, there you go.
I see.
And everything about the seats,
uh-huh,
the covering of the seats. And
wow.
And everything about it to make the Carnegie Hall such a great, great sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last time I was in Carnegie Hall, before my 90th birthday, I was there to see the last performance of a gal that meant so much to us, and that was Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
And Ella was singing there with a PA system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I changed seats about 10 times because you're either sitting in front of a woofer, a tweeter, okay?
Yep.
Or you're out of phase. You got all kinds of stuff ringing around that room, and this beautiful Carnegie Hall with this massive array of speakers, okay? None of them which can reproduce what we hear with our ear.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to listen to this just very poor sound.
Yeah.
And you just sit down and listen to it and say, wow, the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you this, Les, but you mentioned Andre Segovia.
Yes.
And years ago, a night I will never forget, when my dad realized that I was getting serious about guitar playing, he took me to see Andre Segovia. Andre Segovia came and was playing at Orchestra Hall here in Chicago, and you can appreciate what he did. I'll never forget this experience. He came out on stage, and as you say, there was no amplification. It was just the acoustics of Orchestra Hall. He comes out on stage, this little man. He sits down in a chair, and he tunes up his guitar. Then when he was done, he folded his hands and just sat there and didn't do anything and just stared at the audience. And you know how in any concert people are just coming in and some people are talking. I've never seen one man stare down an audience, and they knew he wasn't going to play a single note until Orchestra Hall was totally quiet.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then he gave one of the most amazing concerts I've ever seen in my life. Just this little man with this wonderful classical acoustic guitar, no amplification, no anything. And to me, to this day, it is still the standard by which I judge what a good concert is. He was just extraordinary.
That's fantastic. I'm going to try that Monday. The place will be empty. I'm going to say, that's Steve and Johnny. You know, they really did it. They really did it.
Plant a bug in your ear. Oh, you know, speaking of a bug in your ear, I remember one of the amazing afternoons for us was going to your sound check at the Ryman Auditorium. And again, there were probably a couple dozen people in the audience, but it was pretty obvious to us as we were sitting there watching you and listening to you during the sound check that you were, not only you knew what sound you wanted, and you were telling the guy back there, go this way, go that way, a little to this way, a little to that way, but it sounded like you were also taking into consideration what it was going to be like when the place was filled with people.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes you get the feeling that they set up the sound and they don't take that into consideration.
Most of the time you have to do your rehearsal, you don't have the full audience.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to sound different. And you have only a few seconds to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody, you play a little louder, you don't play as loud. You have to pick it a little differently, turn it down a little bit. You adjust.
Right, or you move the ball-headed man to the left side of the stage.
That's right. Ball-headed man, that fried shirt.
So it bounces off him.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking with Les Paul, the wonderful Les Paul. Now, if you're curious about the concert that we were talking about, and I'm getting more email about this, there is a scheduled concert for November 15th, and it's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And as Les said, you know,
if it's at all possible, he's going to jump in his vehicle and he's going to drive to Cleveland. He'll be a part of that concert. Bottom line is that week he's going to be honored as a part of their American Masters series at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you can go to their website, rockhall.com, and get all kinds of details.
News Talk 720, WGN with Steve King and Johnny Putman. If you're just joining us, where the heck you been? We've been spending some time with one of our absolute favorite human beings on the planet, a man who is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, going to be honored again by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is also the man who is responsible for all those electric guitars you hear in the background and the recording processes for all those electric guitars you hear in the background. He is much more than a guitar and a name on a guitar.
That's right.
And we're fortunate to call him a friend, Les Paul. And Les, you know, one of the things that I'm struck by every time I play one of your older songs, actually I'm struck by two things. One, how good they still sound all these years later. And two, to me, you're one of those rare musicians who, along with all of the technical expertise and everything that you've brought to your inventions, your personality always shows through in your arrangements. There's always a little bit of laughing and some fun that goes on.
Thank you.
I was waiting for Les to say I didn't know where that was going.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I knew where it was going, and I agree. The sense of humor that a person has shows up in the music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, Les, it also, one of the classic examples is in your Chester and Lester album, and I'm not just talking about the conversations you have with Chester, but you can hear in your playing Chet Atkins is being so serious and trying to do everything just perfectly, and you're just having fun, and you're zipping back and forth and having a good time, and yeah, feisty, that's a good way to describe it.
Well, it sure was fun doing that album.
In fact, is it true that on one time, on one of the live performances that you did with Chet, that you actually walked over and unplugged his guitar and he wasn't real happy about it?
Oh, yeah. I was in Chicago, too, bud.
Oh, was it at the NAMM convention? The National Association of Music Merchants.
I didn't say anything at all that he didn't know I was even there.
Uh-huh.
And when they told me the NAMM show was in progress, I went over there and Chet was on the stage very seriously doing a number.
Uh-huh.
I went in and pulled his cord out of the guitar. And that's the way it went.
Well, I remember you being feisty on stage at the House of Blues when Slash came out, and Slash was being Slash with the glasses and the hat and the cigarette in his mouth, and you just walked over there and took the cigarette out of his mouth and dropped it on the ground and ground it out. And the crowd went, woo! Yay!
Yeah, Slash sent me his hat.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, so I got his hat. You know what? You can do me a big favor.
Sure.
I had a friend, Tommy Reynolds, Tommy Ronaldo, mm-hmm. his name. He passed away, and I lost a very dear friend. But I can't find, and I don't remember her maiden name, okay? And so the Ronaldos out there somewhere in Chicago will be Lucy, Francis, or Barbara.
Hmm.
Okay.
If any of those people were to somehow get to me.
Well, they can get in touch with us. So
they can get in touch with us, and we will forward the information on to you, Les. So it's Lucy and what were the other names?
It's Lucy, Barbara, and Francis.
Lucy, Barbara, and Francis Ronaldo.
And Tommy worked under the name of Reynolds, Tommy Reynolds.
Tommy, when he used to work with Ben Burney, I met him in New York when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we became very dear friends, and he passed away many years ago.
Hmm.
Well, if any of the the Ronaldo family is listening and they want to contact us, mm-hmm. we'll be happy to put them in touch with you.
Absolutely. We'll get a number from them and pass it along to you, Les.
Les, is it okay? We've got a couple people that would like to say hello to you, if it's okay with you.
It's great. Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
Who drives?
Les, this is absolutely true. I do the driving because you know where the WGN studios are in the Tribune Tower.
Yes.
By the time we get, when we're going home, by the time we get from the Tribune Tower to the Kennedy Expressway, Johnny is asleep. Trust me, you don't want her driving home.
How can they do that?
It's something about the conversation. I mean, I've listened to him all night long, and by the time I get in the car, I just tune it out.
Boy, I envy anybody that can do that.
Well, my problem is I'm a day person. All my life I've been I get up at the crack of dawn. Working this shift is completely out of my nature. Steve, on the other hand, hated school when he was a kid because he would stay up all night long.
I was always up in the middle of the night.
This is his time. You're kind of like that, too. You're a night owl, aren't you?
Oh, I'm a night owl.
Yeah. And you enjoy catching a few winks during the day, and don't call Les before 4 o'clock because he might be lucky enough to be getting a few winks. All right, we're going to let a couple of people who've been hanging on just say hi to Les Paul. And what a treat this is for us to have a chance to talk with Les. And
we go to Delaney, who's in Arlington Heights and on WGN Radio with Les Paul. Hi, Delaney.
Hi, Steve and Johnny. I am a huge fan of your show, and I listen to you every night. And
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness, I cannot believe that I am talking to the Les Paul, and I'm sure that you cannot believe it either.
Now, how old are you, Delaney?
I'm 15 years old.
15. Les, this is Delaney from Arlington Heights. Are you a musician, Delaney?
Yes, I am. It's such an honor to speak with such a prominent musician, especially because I'm a musician myself. I've been playing the violin for 12 years, and I hope to pursue it as a career when I'm an adult. Do you have any tips from your previous experiences on how to make it in the business?
I bet you hear that from time to time, don't you, Les?
Oh, I hear it many times.
Yeah. Now, you started playing violin when you were 3?
Yes.
Is that right?
Me?
No, Delaney.
Delaney, you started playing when you were about 3?
Yes.
My goodness.
Wow.
Okay.
So what tips would you have for Delaney, Les?
Just keep up the good work. Obviously, you got a good ear, and you got good rhythm, and then the rest of it is you got to work hard and be determined to be what you wish to be.
Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it.
No, sir. You've got to think positive all the time.
Right.
And Les, wouldn't you also, because you from day one, when you first picked up the guitar, you started experimenting with the technology that was available at the time. So wouldn't you suggest to Delaney that she do the same thing? And whether it's something on her computer or whatever the technology is that can help her to improve her playing and her sound, she should take advantage of that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. When I was a kid, I had a laboratory in my living room. And it consisted of my mother had a telephone, a Victrola, a radio, a player piano, and that's all I needed. The Bell Telephone Company just led me right in. And so I learned about the mouthpiece, and I learned about the receiver, and I learned electronics from Bell Labs.
That's amazing.
Oh, it is. And the first place when I moved to Jersey, that's the first thing I did is I went to Bell Labs.
Mm-hmm. And Delaney, nowadays with computer technology, heck, you could be making your own CDs.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, record my...
our archives, and it sure brings back memories.
Sure.
Delaney, you record yourself now?
Oh, yeah, I record myself. I have a Mac, and I record myself on GarageBand.
Very nice.
Terrific. Why don't you send us an example of what you've done?
I don't know if I know how to do that.
Okay, that's your next challenge. Learn how you can send it to friends and people on the radio, because you never know, they might play it on the radio.
I have a video of myself. But
well,
I mean,
send it to us.
Sure, send us a video.
Sure, we'd love to see you playing, especially since you listen to our show.
Every night.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Delaney. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and it's an honor. I'm so happy that I was able to speak with all of you, and especially Les, because he's such a legend, you know, in the music business.
Well,
so,
good luck to you, Delaney.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks a lot, Delaney.
Bye.
Listen, wouldn't you agree something else? I don't know that I have a whole lot of rules that I live by, but there's something that years ago sort of sunk into my brain, and I have the feeling that you use the same train of thought, that when someone is trying to make it in the music business or in the entertainment business, the no's don't count. The yes's do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you got to be determined, because there's a lot of people that put their foot out and you'll trip on it. And you just have to, I don't know how many times I can look back in my life, I walked up to Gibson, Gibson turned me down. And that goes for Capitol Records. And they said, just because you got a Wisconsin dairy maid to sing with you, and they looked at the negative things, and Decca Records, when I went with them, they says, well, it's a novelty, maybe you'll get one. You know, you have to pull yourself. You don't, you're going to run into a lot of problems in your lifetime, and you just have to step over them. And prove that you are right.
Amen. Well, we speaking of, as you said, it was Capitol Records that said, just because you got this milkmaid, Wisconsin milkmaid with you.
Wisconsin dairymaid.
Yes, talking about Mary Ford. Let's go to Dick, who is in Beloit, Wisconsin. How are you, Dick? You're on WGN with Les Paul.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm just a little sleepy. I've taken two sleeping pills.
Uh-oh.
After I heard Les was going to be on, I purchased an album of his at a household sale, and I just wanted to run this by him, see if he possibly remembered it. The LPs in here are like brand new. I mean, they play just so beautiful. And it's got a picture of him and Mary Ford
right
on the cover, and it's he's surrounded by 45s. Then it's got a Via Con Dias cover, a stamp of a cover, and My Baby's Coming Home. But here, let me tell you on the other side here.
Is it a greatest hits album?
It's a what?
Is it the greatest hits album?
Greatest hits. Greatest hits album. And it tells about the man of tremendous drive and intelligence. Paul had been tinkering with electronics in the 30s and 40s. Between gigs as a guitarist for Bing Crosby and Rudy Vallee. Paul Whiteman and others.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you were able to pick up at a garage sale, the Greatest Hits album. And that's also available on CD, isn't
right.
it,
Les? For just about all of your stuff is now available on CD, isn't it, Les?
Oh, yes.
And but if you can find some of those old albums, there is a resurgence of interest, and I'm sure you're aware of this, Les, that more companies are now starting to put out vinyl again, and turntables are becoming more and more available.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And a lot of people still feel, I know I do, and I would assume you do, that there really is a difference in the analog sound when you get that analog warmth and fullness.
Yeah, especially on guitar.
Yeah.
And that guitar. In designing the speakers, speaker, the PA, the system for the electric guitar, that speaker and that amplifier, if that isn't tubes, you got a big problem. The guitars loves that warm sound.
Yeah.
And it can be bright, but it's still got that soft, a way I describe it is that if you go to the digital way or to a solid state way, you immediately start running into problems where that just says, here's where we stop, musically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that way with the tube. Tube says, well, I wish you wouldn't push me so much, but I'll stick with it. And he does, and that tube bends over gracefully.
Well, that, speaking of that, you talked about Gibson wanting you to design the ultimate amplifier. Is your new amplifier going to be a tube amplifier?
One will be a tube. There's going to be four of them. And I'm starting on the first one first, and that first one is my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I want to be careful that I do the right thing. And by the way, that guitar that you were talking about, that Epiphone,
yeah.
That, it's finally come around to low impedance.
Yep.
And it took all these years to learn what the telephone company taught me when I was just a little kid.
And I believe the other guitar that years ago that you had really designed most of for Gibson, that had the low impedance pickups on, that was the Les Paul recording model, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it rolled over and died gracefully.
And mm-hmm. isn't that the guitar that you still use on stage to this day?
Yes, and you'd be amazed at how many guitars are coming in that want to be autographed, and they bring their instruments in, and how many of them are out looking for them now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that, yep. Yeah. I know of at least one guy who's looking for
it. I've been looking for one for years, and I can't find one.
Really?
Well, Les, it is always so much fun to talk with you, and we hope you will keep us up to date on what's going to happen with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And
If you decide to be there,
we're going to do our best to just take a long drive and hang out with you in Cleveland if you're going to be there.
I will be there.
Well, we will be there because that's November 15th, and it's just a wonderful opportunity. We've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame either.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah, we understand it's a great display that they put there for you. You were there just a couple of years ago for the unveiling of that and had a fantastic night with the concert that night, and we had to miss it. But this is on a Saturday night, so if folks want information on it, just go to rockhall.com and click on the information about the 13th Annual American Music Masters Series honoring Les Paul on November 15th at 8 o'clock in the evening. Well, you know we love you, and we always love having a chance to talk with you, Les. Thank you.
And before we let you go, we got to ask, how's Russ doing?
Russ is doing just fine, and he's listening.
Hey, Russ.
We send Russ our best as well, and we'll see him then in November.
Absolutely.
And you stay in touch with us, okay?
We love you.
You too.
God bless,
Les. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.